What's a holy habit? A holy habit is a habit that helps to shape and mold our hearts so that they harmonize with Jesus. Probably more fully harmonize with the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I've offered some suggestions over the past several weeks, encouraging us to participate in various habits. There was the habit of daily scripture reading, just taking a moment and spending some time in scripture. We are inundated with technological advance and various ways to remind us and to help us to just open our Bibles or click on our tab on our electronic devices and read a verse, encouraging us in the habit of engagement with God, daily prayer. There again, so many ways to prompt us to spend some time in daily prayer and to be mindful of that connection, that engagement, that conversation that we have been invited to participate in with the Father. We also talked about the habit of generosity, holy abundance, this idea that God has blessed us with so much. And when you have more than you need, you build a bigger table, not a higher wall. The gift of sharing, not just money, but our time and our mind and our heart and our other resources with one another. Last time I spoke, we spoke of the habit of accountability through or holy accountability through the habit of community. That's spending time with each other. Like, God did not create us to do life by ourselves. And so it's important that we connect with other people in meaningful ways outside of here. I get that Sunday mornings is an important time, but it can't be the only form of connection that we have with others. And today we want to conclude this series with our holy mission, the habit of serving. So let's jump right in and let's read Mark chapter 10, starting at verse number 35. Mark chapter 10, verse number 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" But they replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great must first be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." When we began this series, there were two themes that we sought to steer our conversation through the text. One is that we want to be like Jesus. Jesus was someone who had habits. He did things on a daily basis. You would read in scripture that that Jesus often withdrew from everyone to go up mountains to be alone and to pray. He had habits that helped shape him and sustain him during his time of ministry on earth. So it just makes sense that we should be like Jesus. Jesus had habits. We should have habits. Secondly, what would our lives look like? This is a question that sort of has been steering our series. What would our lives look like if every thought that entered our mind, every thought was held captive by Christ, or held captive and then made obedient to Christ? If everything that enters our heart, we surrendered that, took it captive and made it obedient to Christ, what would our lives look like? We got that theme from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The habit at the heart of all of these sermons have been those things that seek to grab our mind, our hearts, our imagination, so that they're held captive by Christ and made obedient to Christ. The habit at the heart of today's sermon is a habit like the others. They flow directly out of the life of Jesus. When we look at reading Scripture, we know that Jesus engaged Scripture daily. When it comes to prayer, we know that he engaged prayer daily. When it comes to generosity, Jesus, even though he didn't have much physically or you know, financially, but he gave. He was very abundant in his giving. He was very generous. And community, Jesus very rarely walked alone and taught his disciples not to walk alone. He's the very epitome of what it means to be community. And here today, the habit of serving others is something that comes right out of the ministry of Jesus. Take the life of Jesus and think of the highlights. Now, I realize that the whole life of Jesus is a human highlight film, human divine highlight film. They're all highlights, but consider all the things that Jesus did while he was here that's recorded in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In John chapter 2, his first miracle, mama comes to Jesus and says, "We done ran out of wine." And he's like, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And she's like, well, do something. And he chose to perform his first miracle at a wedding, turning water into wine. He served. That's just what he did. In Mark chapter 2, there's a story of these friends who heard that Jesus is at this house and he's teaching, and they're trying to get into the house, but there was this huge crowd, all around the door, so they couldn't get in. So these crazy friends says, "You know what, let's go up on the roof of this house, let's tear a hole in it, and let's lower my man down. This man needs to get to Jesus." And surely they were startled by the fact that, "I can't believe they up there tearing my roof up." But he comes down, and Jesus didn't knock them for tearing through the roof. In fact, he saw how committed they were to get their friend to him to serve. And so what does Jesus do? He forgives the man of his sins first, and then he heals him. He was a lame man. He couldn't walk, but then he could walk. He picked up his mat, and he began to walk out, forgiven and healed of his physical ailment. Jesus served. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus came down from a mountain, and there was a leper there. And to be a leper was not just to have a skin disease. I mean, that's one thing where it's a skin disease. It looks pretty nasty. It's probably pretty itchy and uncomfortable. But Jesus did the unthinkable. He touched the leper. It would have been the first time this leper had felt the touch of another human in months, perhaps years, because you weren't supposed to touch lepers. So yeah, he healed them, and that was a great thing in and of itself, but just think of what it meant for this man to be touched. Jesus served. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus was at the home of Peter, and there Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, was sick, and Jesus, knowing that, man, it can get tense between the in-laws, he served Peter by healing Peter's mother-in-law. He served. John chapter 6, the story that everyone knows of of a crowd gathering, and they're very hungry, and the disciples are like, we don't have anything to feed them. And Jesus takes the lunch of a young boy, and he takes those two fish and five loaves of bread and fed 5,000 people. Text says they look like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus served them. He served. Luke 23. Jesus is on the cross. He's dying. He's been beaten to the point of death. And there on the cross, one of the persons that's on another cross next to him says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. To those who were mocking him, who had just spat on him and driven the nails in his hands, he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Even from the cross, he served. Jesus was equipped with spiritual power to overcome sin. He forgave folks. He changed and altered their spiritual lives. He was a servant. Jesus equipped with the power over nature, still the raging seas. Remember the disciples are in the boat and they started rocking and they're like, Jesus, what are you doing? And he said, peace, be still. He has power over nature and he used that to serve. Jesus, with the power over death, raised to life a little girl who had died 12 years old. He served. Even when it seemed that Jesus had nothing else to give, as he's hanging powerless on a cross. So we say, powerless. He served. It's important to see Jesus serving, and as a servant during this episode that I just read from Mark chapter 10, some are requesting positions of prestige and power. They want it to be great. There are so many conversations about greatness, from debates about, you know, who's the greatest basketball player of all time, or what makes a country great. Let me be honest. I'm not sure I have a definitive answer. Who's the greatest basketball player? Is it Jordan, LeBron, Kareem? I'll tell you this. If you're known by one name, you're in the conversation. So let's just say those three are at least in the conversation. I don't know the definitive answer. It's Kareem. I don't know the definitive answer. When it comes to a country, what makes a country great? Is it how much the value of the GDP is, which I still don't understand? Is it the value of the stock market? Is it the amount of nuclear weapons that it has? Is that what makes a country great? I don't know. When it comes to God, church, the kingdom, it's pretty definitive what greatness, or how greatness is measured. And Jesus set the stage. He said it. He said it in several different places, several different instances, and it's repeated throughout Scripture. When it comes to God's kingdom, when it comes to what makes someone great, what makes a great church, what makes a great individual, what makes a great preacher or a pastor or a minister, it's serving. This is what Jesus said, not what I'm making up, not what I'm interpreting. These are the very words of Jesus. Remind you from Mark chapter 10, the last few verses of Mark 10. So Jesus called them and said to them, you know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers, they lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your, say this word with me, servant. You want to be great, serve. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man, Jesus talking of himself, did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. I just ran down a litany of passages and episodes in the Gospels. And that's what he did. He served by giving himself to all. In another episode, this is at the Last Supper, the Last Supper before Jesus was taken away and crucified, practice that we continue today. This is Luke chapter 22, verse number 24. It says, a dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Let me stop there for a second. Isn't it interesting that they're always fighting about who's the greatest? They're never fighting about who serves the best. They're always fighting over being great. Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater than the one who is at the table, or the one who serves? It is not the one at the table, but I among you as the one who serves. In another episode, excuse me, this is John 13. Again, probably the same meal. It says, after Jesus had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, that's an act of service. In fact, it is the one of the most grotesque acts of service. A service reserved for your worst servant to wash the feet of others. But he says, if I have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Service. Paul must have taken these words serious, because this is what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but use but through love, become slaves to one another. The whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Peter, who walked with Jesus, and he was at every episode where Jesus spoke of greatness and serving. This is what Peter writes, 1 Peter chapter 4. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. To live for Jesus is to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus is to serve like Jesus. To serve like Jesus is to commit to be open to being used by God in every moment, every situation that presents itself for us to serve, so that we will have impact on others. When your brother and sister need something, are you available? Are you available to listen to them? Are you available to cry with them? Available to laugh with them? Feed them? Nurse them to health? Speak for them? Defend them? Hold them accountable? Preach to them? Teach them? Correct them? Share recreation with them? Are you available? If so, then make that request that have been made by Christians for centuries. Lord, make me a servant. Make me just like you. I love that our church has placed a premium on serving. We do not serve as to receive accolades or recognition. We don't do this so that we can pump our chests out and say, look at what we did. We serve because people have needs. We serve because Jesus had served us and invited us to serve alongside him. We serve because we love God and we love others. It should be the habit of prayer and the habit of reading scripture and the habit of generosity and the habit of community that leads us into the habit of serving others. It's that which we demonstrate our love for God and our love for others. And so throughout this series, I have suggested taking a look at some small changes to inform what we call holy habits. I don't know if y'all know this, but I love to cook. I love food. I love to cook. I love to cook for other people. I suspect or guess that one of my loves is smoking food, smoking barbecue. Now, Herb is back there. This is the barbecue king. Okay, but I like to do a little something too. And Herb, don't get mad at me now. Don't get mad at me now. I use a pellet grill because you can just put the pellets in there. You set the timer and you forget it, and then your food is done. And I think the food tastes okay. A couple years ago, I bought myself a new toy. I saw a display model of this pellet grill that I had been looking at, and it was about 30-40% off the original price because it was a floor model. So I bought that bad boy. I said, man, I can do a bunch of ribs in here. I could do a bunch of pork shoulders in here. And I got it home, and man, it was all put together, a couple things I needed to put together. But I put it all together, ready to throw some ribs on that bad boy. Had my ribs all seasoned up. I plugged it up and turned it on, and it didn't work. Oh, I mean, y'all, it's such a Dion story. And so I'm looking in things. I'm looking at the electrical. I'm doing this, that, and the other. I'm pressing the button. It just would not work. So I'm reporting that for 2 years, that brand new smoker sat on my patio and has done nothing. So I called the manufacturer. I said, look, this thing hadn't worked for 2 years. It's brand new. Can y'all send someone out to fix it? I'll pay whatever. They said, we don't take care of that stuff anymore. You got to jump through this hoop and jump through this hoop and then this, that, and the other. And I was prepared to pay hundreds of dollars to get this fixed. Then I checked something. I said, here's a fuse right here. A little tiny fuse it takes. Yeah, just like that. Just like that. It cost 99 cents. I said, I'll try anything at this point. I bought the fuse. I put the fuse where the fuse is supposed to go. It fires up. It sat 2 years. All it needed was that small little fuse. Why am I telling this story? One of the things I've suggested throughout this series is that I'm not asking us to make these big, huge, dramatic changes in establishing habits of prayer, reading scripture, generosity, community, or even serving. Just little small changes. It was just a small $1 fuse that afforded me the opportunity to smoke some ribs. They were good too. What's that little small fuse in our lives that's been created for us to make some bigger impact? That doesn't cost a lot of money, doesn't take a lot of time. It's just a little small fuse, but it operates this 200-pound, 300-pound smoker. That thing weighed a gram or something. And it controls this huge, big machine. What's that little fuse in our lives? Trust me, I have been the beneficiary of witnessing some service by some folks that are just astounding. I remember a member invited me with them to go to Walmart during Christmas time. And he said, let's just go throughout the store and just hand people $100 bills. And just say Merry Christmas. Trust me, they were the one donating the hundreds. I was just giving them away. So they deserve the credit for being so generous. And it was so incredible watching the faces of families look like, why are you doing this? Somebody just wanted to serve you. So here, put this $100 on your bill. Oh man, I can get that gift for them. I have no clue how that ended up later on, but who knows? That could have been something that changed the trajectory of their life. Maybe they weren't as generous as they should have been in life, and maybe that was something that sparked generosity in their life. Maybe they put together that the people that gave them that money were Jesus people, and maybe they said, maybe this is a sign or a call to start listening more to Jesus. But I don't want you to think that Like, I don't have $2,000 to just give away. So how can I do a service that's impactful? There are thousands of ways. How many people fly here? How many, y'all go flying? You know, when you have to get your luggage off the carousel, and it is the most inhumane experience ever when everybody is just rushing to get their stuff, and you always see, you know, an elderly person or someone with a disability waiting, and they know that they're going to have to wait till everybody get their stuff before they get their stuff. Would it be so bad when we're at the airport and we see someone who needs help, we stand by them and say, hey, can I help you look for your luggage, and I'll make sure you get your luggage? How much did that cost? That was less than the fuse that I bought. What if when we see trash on the ground, this is a big one for me, when you go into the grocery store, when someone has their Happy Meal or their Biggie Bag meal, and they say, here's a good place to put my trash, right in the parking lot. I used to grumble all the time about that, and I used to, if the trash is there, I just grumble, I can't believe people do that, then I'd go in the store. Do you know what I do now? Pick it up. I throw it in the trash. You never know who's looking and saying, man, that was just so kind. You know what? I'm going to start doing that. Our church is on Graham Road. And if you drive down Graham Road, you see people who, again, they're done with their drink, they're done with their cigarette, and they just toss it out the window. What if 3-4 times a year we come together as a church, put on some yellow vests, red vests, orange vests, and just pick up the trash on Graham Road? What about shoveling your neighbor's sidewalk or raking their leaves? What about offering a young couple with a baby or small children, hey, if you trust me, can you let us watch your kids and you guys go out and have a great time? How much you want us to pay you for babysitting? Oh, man, you don't have to pay us anything. Just go have a great time. Come back and get your kids. But, you know, like, I'm generous, but not that generous. What about you're at the store buying the person behind you a coffee? What about coming to the community of care? You don't have to cook anything. You don't have to make anything. You don't have to load any groceries in it. Just come and just sit with people and talk with them while they're eating their meal. At camp this year, there's one of the counselors. He's a young adult. He's just turned 21. One day I'm talking with him. He was one of my kids when I was a counselor, and now he's a counselor. And we were walking and talking, and I said, hey, man, so how things been? How's school? He says, Dion, I'm not even in school anymore. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with debt. I have a huge gambling problem. I have some other addictions. 21 years old, 22 years old, I believe. I'm $30,000 in debt from gambling. It's bad. So he just began to kind of unload and tell me some things. Then he told me this story. He was working at a Walmart, and he was just having a really bad time. He's working like 3-4 jobs trying to pay off all these debts. He's walking in Walmart, and he's in the aisle doing some work, and he starts bawling, starts crying. He offered to me that was going to be a day that he was potentially going to harm himself. And as he's crying, this woman walks up to him and says, hey, guy, you know what? You look like my son. My son has a lot of problems. Do you have any problems? And he just started weeping at that moment. He said, yes, I have so many problems. He said, come here. A total stranger gave him a hug. A lot of times I see people crying and I think to myself, I'm going to leave them alone. Maybe that's an imitation for some no-cost service. Is there something I can help you with? You need someone to talk to? Can I help you? Church, those are the little fuses that could go a long way. We might be blessed to see the fruit of our serving, but oftentimes we won't. I pray that this is not a deterrent. I would love to see the end of all of the stories that I mentioned. But I'm happy to use the hands that God has gave me, the feet that he's given me, to model them after Jesus and to serve. This is a holy mission. I want to share with you a prayer that I came across. I'm not going to play the video. I'm just going to read it. This is a prayer. It's called the Franciscan prayer. It's also called the non-traditional blessing. Listen to these words. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. Church, that's our holy mission. The habit of serving yields hearts that are moved to believe that simple acts of service are acts that will allow people to see God. Whatever you need to do in your life to implement a weekly, daily, simple act of random kindness, do it. If it's helping people load their groceries in the car at the grocery store, if it's the last bottle of Heinz ketchup and two of you reach for it at the same time, say, look, come back next week and I'll buy you one. Or let them have the bottle of ketchup. There's so many things that we could do that cost absolutely no money. It may cost some time. Hey, check this out. In a couple months, we're going to do something we did last year, Fall Festival. How many people came to the Fall Festival last year? We expected around 100, 150 people. There were probably about 700 people here. We had enough candy, we had enough food, and enough people so that was just an incredibly glorious day. One of the things I loved about it is that people afterwards didn't just take their candy and go home. They were coming up to folks and saying, thank you for doing this. Thanks for playing catch with my son. Thank you. We're going to do it again this year. We're going to need people in order to do that. Might not cost you a cent. If you're going to decorate a trunk and do something, it might cost you a little bit of money if you want to do that. But you don't have to do that. Where's Vicky? Vicky Edwards. Vicky Edwards was running that cakewalk like a boss. A boss. We might need you to run a station. We need you to play football with somebody. Or run a game station. Rebecca Johnson, Brandy Davis are going to kind of be the head. But we need folks. We need folks for a committee. We need folks to volunteer to bring your cars and decorate your trunks. We need folks to bake cakes for the cakewalk. Vicky, I hope you sign up again because boss. We need people to run the cakewalk. We need people to do decorations. We need you. It's another way for us to be the hands and feet of Jesus during a season that's focused on ghouls and goblins. We're not focusing on ghouls and goblins. We're focusing on harvest, the blessing of God that he blesses us with. So there'll be more information about this coming out over the next several weeks. But initially, if you want to serve on a committee for the Fall Festival this year, 2024, come see me, come see Brandy Davis, or see Rebecca Johnson. But if not that big thing, just serve one another. Church, that's all I have. I invite the priest team to come forward. Jesus told his disciples that you've seen some great things that I've done. You're going to do greater things. I believe that's true. I believe the body of Christ is positioned to do great things. I believe the body of Christ is positioned to be great. Not because we have a lot of money in the bank. Not because we have the best singers. Not because we have the best preachers. Not because we have the best classes. I think we're positioned to be great because we have committed to serve. If during the singing of this song, if you would like to share something with the church, you want us to pray for you, you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you want to live a life walking faithful with God, you can come as we stand and as we sing.